The Old Testament reading for Laetare is written in Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is written in Acts chapter 2. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves and left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for Laetare Sunday is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number, thus far the text. At the time of the Exodus, God saw the Israelite people out of slavery and into freedom by the guidance of Moses. But no sooner are they rescued through the waters of the Red Sea than they are found grumbling in the wilderness, complaining about hunger. So the Lord, to remind them of his deliverance of them, provides. Then the complaints continue. They want a variety of food. And the complaints and the bickering just keep coming. It's as if God were dealing with a bunch of self-centered, "I want my will done" sinners. I hope you understand that. In the gospel reading, the new and greater Moses, Christ Jesus, is leading the new Israel to the promised land, to the recreated Eden, by doing what God has always done, sustaining and feeding his people, giving them their daily bread, reminding them of his deliverance of them. It was nearly the Passover, and the commemoration of God's miraculous deliverance of his people from slavery in Egypt. Great crowds are there to listen to Jesus, but they have no food. They followed him out there and find him. Led by him, they're drawn by him to be in a position of need. Jesus, in a test of Philip, reveals that money will not resolve this situation. The bread he plans on giving them is not for sale at any price. And as he did through Moses, God provides bread and meat for his people through the signs and wonders of his prophet. And in the case of Jesus, it is Christ who is the prophet who is to come into the world. The very bread of life himself, in the flesh and in the loaf. Jesus himself gives thanks and orders the distribution of this bread to those who hear his word, those burdened as they are brought to be aware of their weak flesh, who desire to be disciples of this prophet of all prophets, this fulfillment of Moses, this living bread from heaven. Christ, and it doesn't say it in this text, but it says it in one of the other Gospels, Christ uses his ministers to distribute to the people. He uses his ministers to distribute the food and to reverently collect what is not consumed by the people so that nothing is lost. The people believed in Jesus by this sign, by hearing his word, and by eating the bread he distributed through his servants. But in spite of all of that, all that the Lord has done for them, in the face of all that he's taught them, in the aftermath of this miraculous sign, the Lord's followers are still sinners. Go figure. They misconstrue this sign and seek selfishly to crown him as their temporal earthly king. Instead of seeing a kingdom not of this world and a king who is creator, prophet, priest, and promised redeemer, these sinful followers of Jesus see instead a welfare program, a politician who can hand out free food. But Jesus is no politician. For rather than forming an exploratory committee and hiring a PR firm or creating negative ads that give the illusion that he's better than the rest, Jesus slips away to be alone. Dear friends, as you remain in sinful flesh, God's believing, baptized Christians are like the children of Israel, who grumble in the face of God's extravagant mercy and lavish gifts. According to sinful flesh, you're like the 5,000. Insofar as you want God to provide you with the goodies of this world, rather than the treasures to be stored up in heaven. God's children are no different than Adam and Eve, wanting what is not yours and showing contempt for what has been given to you. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Repent of your inability to be content. Repent of your hoarding. Repent of your blindness to what is really important. These passages of Holy Scripture are a mirror. And in them, in that mirror, you're brought to see every flaw and blemish. And the desire, though, is to turn down the light so that the blemishes aren't seen, preferring the darkness rather than the light. In the early church, in the reading from the book of Acts, you also see a gathering of God's people, of signs and of bread. That early church heard the word of God, and they were brought to repentance, and they were baptized. Then they continued to hear the doctrine of the apostles, followed by fellowship with their brothers and sisters in that confession of faith. They made sure that they were all of the same mind, that they all had the same confession, the same faith. The fellowship that they had was nothing other than God's divine service, the breaking of bread and the prayers. And these early Christians did not hoard, but shared their bounty. Instead of having less, they had more. Not unlike the 12 basketfuls left over after the Lord fed the 5,000. How did they have more if they were giving away what they had? Here's how. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In baptism, in preaching and teaching apostolic doctrine, in fellowship, in the liturgy, and in storing up treasure in heaven by sharing with those in need, the church was blessed with growth. Were they perfect Christians? Only by faith in Christ, just like you. But the early Christians made no provision for grumbling, no excuses for a sinful desire for variety and for satisfaction of the selfish craving to be entertained within the liturgy. The church did not water down doctrine to appease the tolerant, deviant Roman culture. They didn't only think of themselves and jealously guard their time, talent, and treasures. They took comfort in what might have been seen as boring by others. They took comfort in the reading of God's Holy Scripture, in the pure preaching and teaching of God's Word, in participation in the sacraments, in prayer, and in the singing of hymnody back to God of what His Word had revealed to them. Yes, there was hymnody in the early church. And though the book of Acts is describing the people of God nearly 2,000 years ago, God is still doing the same old, same old. And thanks be to God that He is. For you are also the same old, same old. The same old rebels from Eden. Complainers in the face of grace and plenty, seekers of earthly treasure and a desire for others to provide your wants, and despisers, according to your sinful flesh, despisers of God's word and sacraments. Thanks be to God for bringing about the early church who lived in times of peril, in times of martyrdom, who never had the luxuries that are enjoyed today, and yet who served as saintly examples, so much so that those who witnessed their faith in action were moved and inspired to write down what they saw. And the Holy Scriptures are now the witness of what the church is expected to be, what she is now, as God brings you to serve. Yes, even what she shall be for all eternity when this flawed earth passes away. Not too long from right now, just as God did for them in the early church, God will once again provide sustenance for his wandering rebels right here in the desert of the Bay Area. The Lord will once again break bread for the many and will use his unworthy minister to distribute the bread of life of his very body and blood to you, for you Christians to eat and to drink. The New Testament of Christ's body and blood will be delivered into your mouths to deliver you. And just as the children of Israel were sustained by their miracle, so too will you. And just as Jesus was physically present to his people back in the book of Acts in God's divine service back then, so too he is here for you today. So if you find the liturgy boring, if you want Jesus to give you something worldly instead of eternal, if you desire to break the commands of God in Adam and Eve's delusion that you can be like God through your disobedience, by the grace of God, be repenting and believing. God delivers Christ, and all that Christ has merited for you, forgiveness, life, and salvation, delivered right here, right now, and each Sunday to deliver you through Christ. This is exactly why this Sunday in Lent is called Laetare Sunday. It means to be glad, to rejoice. For even within Lent, even as God brings you to ponder your wanderings, your complaints, your gossiping, your vain desire for earthly gain, even as he brings you to struggle to deny yourselves, to crucify your very flesh and take up your cross, even as he brings you to come to the reality of your unbelieving flesh, you can be glad and rejoice. But how? How in the midst of your sinfulness can you possibly be glad and rejoice? That is how. For God still delivers his word and sacraments that point you to your salvation from the world, your flesh, and the devil. Salvation from death and hell. This is why, as God gathers his church, his body of believers, they can confess together the words of the introit. Even though the choir sings, we all confess it together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For this is the house of the Lord, the house of bread, the house of nourishment, the house of forgiveness, the house of peace, because this is where Christ and his merits are delivered. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Another version of this introit goes on to add the rest of Isaiah 66, verse 11, so that it says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. As embarrassed as some may be at those words, they are the inspired word of God. And they speak of the very way that the church sees you into eternity. Early church fathers were found calling the church Mother Church, for you were born of her through the womb of the baptismal font. Born again from above by word and water. The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Even as St. Peter's epistle proclaims, she, Mother Church, feeds you with the milk of God's word, which points you to Christ and his merits for you. Rejoice indeed, for she also feeds you with the bread of life, which points you to Christ and his merits for you. Thousand thanks indeed. Christ has given all of himself that he would be given to you, that by grace for his sake through faith, he would abide in you and you in him. And because of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that he has merited for you, all believers, all those receiving the nourishment of his pure word and sacraments will continually confess, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.